When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Unequal Sequel
Extra.
Hello, everyone. We are the podcast that weekly talk about sequels in one way or another. Yeah. I'm Dave. Hello. The other voice you can hear is Rich. That's Rich.
Hello.
And yeah, we love sequels and we normally ask people about their best, worst and dream sequels in that order. And at the moment, we're on our very off-season. Can I say off-season?
Yeah, very much so. Yes. Yeah, we seem to have been in our off-season for about a year.
We're stuck in a rut or something like that.
We are recording episodes for the main season though, right?
We are. That is true.
We have got some in the can and we've got a few more to go before we're ready to announce when the season will start. But it is coming.
It is coming. I know it's like a long wait.
And we have promised you two seasons this year, which is worrying because we're cracking through this year really quickly.
Really fast. This year's starting to go off the, like, getting out of hand now, but hello, welcome everyone. Rich, quickly before we go on to whatever we're doing today, I've been going back listening to old episodes to make a note of what we scored previous sequels.
Yes.
And I the other day I listened to our Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Okay.
Now, out of seven, what do you think you gave that?
Five?
We both gave it a 6 out of 7.
Did we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we must have liked
we're
it.
We're idiots, right? I mean, it's okay. It's fine. It's a good movie. For Marvel content recently, it's pretty good. But, you know, it loses points for the weird Pokemon.
We even mentioned the weird third act that goes on the Pokemon world, and we're like, that's a 6 out of 7. That's pretty. Anyway, it's fun going back.
We've grown as people since then.
We've grown as reviewers, journalists, podcasters, definitely, and now we've made our way to this episode, like 200 episodes later or something.
Yeah.
No sequels this week. We're going to have a row of reviewing sequels pretty soon.
So. Yeah, we've got like 3 sequels all on the same day, right?
3 sequels in the same week. Then we've got the sequel to Rebel Moon that somehow
I'm going to have to watch it now, aren't I?
I just want to hear how angry you're going to be. But we've got Ghostbusters 2, Afterlife 2, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which still sounds like an ice cream to me. Kung Fu Panda 4, which has been released in America but not in the UK yet, and that Godzilla times...
Yeah, Godzilla Kong. X Kong.
It's a team up we've all been waiting for.
Not that anyone could see, but I did my little X-Men X.
It looks like you're a West Ham supporter.
I mean, this is how much I don't like football. I don't understand that reference. But I was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
It was X-Men.
Did Gloucester Rugby win a cup the other day?
They did. They won the Premiership Cup. They beat Leicester on Friday.
Is that a big thing?
It's the first time since 2015 that we've won something. So, yeah.
Oh.
Pretty good.
You had a good day then?
Yeah. It's the first cup since my son's been born that they've won.
Oh.
So, yeah. First thing in 9 years.
Exciting.
Mm.
Well, and then I got to say, hey, we've got to do something for the next week's episode.
Yes.
Do you know what two sequels are celebrating their anniversaries?
Mm.
And they gave you an option of two.
You did. Yeah.
And somehow, and I think...
Hang on, whoa. Don't blame me for this. I said one of those films is good, but the other one will be funnier. And you picked
we've gone
the funny one.
Okay. Well, I've never seen it before, so...
Yeah, I was wrong about being funny.
Here we go. Ramp it up. Okay, so on the March 26th in America and the following weeks afterwards, Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed was unleashed on the Earth. So we are celebrating, celebrating is the correct word here, Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed from 2004, Rich.
Yeah. I didn't know this existed because I was in my end of first year, beginning the second year of uni, and Scooby-Doo was not on my radar.
No, it wasn't really. I had never seen it, and that's partially because I saw the first one when it came out in 2002 and absolutely hated it, like to the core. And I remember saying, it's 2 hours, I'll never get back.
Yeah.
Never going to get those 2 hours back.
Yeah. The biggest problem I have with these movies is that you have to imagine that Linda Cardellini isn't incredibly beautiful. Like we're expected to... What, because she's wearing glasses? No, sorry.
And a polo neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget about the polo neck. It's very important. So in 2004, like you said, we're in our second year of uni then, so this really wasn't on our radar of things we're going to see.
Not at all.
At our local Odeon. And like I said, I would have given it a miss anyway. I've been giving it a miss for my whole entire life at the moment because I have had opportunities to watch this. That has been on like most Christmases or whatever.
Well, also, we, I guess, picked it as a
dream. And we still didn't watch it.
Scooby-Doo 3 was their dream sequel. And we still didn't watch it.
Sorry, Jordan.
Sorry, Jordan. Yeah. Jordan King. Back in season one, was that?
Season one. Season Jordan one. King now writes for Empire and other things. And he seems to think, he must be the only one, but he thought the Scooby-Doo films were popular and good.
Yeah, but he's a lot younger than us.
Well, we both broke it to it.
I think
they're not.
I think we broke him, didn't we?
I don't think there's a generation that thinks, oh, I love Scooby-Doo. Right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, the cartoons are amazing.
Yeah.
I love the cartoons when I'm little. I have a memory in my head that we've just bought our new house. Don't know what year this is, but I remember sitting in a box, brand new house, gutted. Dad bought a new house. And I remember he just got a new TV as well.
Right.
And in the lounge, me and my brother, very young, sitting on a box watching Scooby-Doo on cartoon. And I have that memory. So that's cute. And the movie, I thought, how bad can it be? Awful, that first one. Really bad. Because if you go back and listen to the Jordan King episode, you find out that I thought everyone liked Scrappy-Doo.
Mm.
And it turns out no one liked Scrappy-Doo.
No.
So I was annoyed at the end of the first one when he's revealed as the bad guy, pretty much.
Mm.
That annoyed me. And then this came out, and like we said, I think we were
I'm going to say something a bit controversial now.
Oh, shit.
Because this movie, Scooby-Doo 2, isn't good. But I actually find it better than the first one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Because I hate the first one too. And I watched this and was indifferent. There was I didn't have any hatred for it. I was just like, oh, this is... Yeah. Whereas the first one, I was like, this is a big pile of shit.
They're basically the same, aren't they?
Yeah, but this doesn't have Scrappy-Doo in it, and he's the most annoying part.
Fuck you. Rich, can you quickly give a classic... synopsis of this 20-year-old movie.
I've been dreading this.
And spoilers are welcome.
Okay.
Because 20 years, we're ready to...
Following the events of the first movie, where the gang save Coolsville, it turns out that all their past monsters are somehow coming back to life. And yet, they're still equally scared of them, even though they know they're not real monsters. Which is confusing. Although this time they do sort of appear to be some sort of ghostly, apparition-y monsters.
They are monsters.
Obviously, because it's Scooby-Doo, they're not. But you know, anyway, you know. So yeah, they somehow get kind of destroyed in the media. And blamed for a lot of things. And Fred's got lots of stuff taken out of context. And yeah, so they're kind of battling against their unpopularity, going from very popular to not popular, whilst also trying to solve the mystery of why they're all their old things are coming back to life. Seth Green's in it as someone weirdly creepy. Alicia Silverstone is in it as the reporter that's kind of, you know, like having this media campaign against them. And yeah, that's it, really.
I'm about to say the Monsters, Inc. crew, but it's not the Monsters, Inc. crew. It's the Mysterious Incorporated. What is
Mystery
the
Incorporated.
There we go. Yeah. They're now world famous at this point.
Coolsville famous, I would say.
Coolsville famous.
Yeah.
And they're opening a museum, sort of homage the gang's.
Yeah, Seth Green is the curator of the Monster Museum that they've got an exhibit in, yeah.
Seth Green's a weird character in this film because they don't really explain.
Weird character.
At the end of the point, well, the point of him. They try and make him
a love interest for Velma.
A love interest, but also a suspect.
Mm.
But they never quite carry through with that suspect thing.
Well, no, they make him a suspect for no reason. But so obviously a suspect that you know he's not the suspect.
It's weird. We got cast. The cast is really good, actually. Sarah Michelle Gellar as Daphne, Freddie Prinze Jr. as Fred, Linda Cardellini
as
Velma,
yeah.
Matthew Lillard as Shaggy,
yeah.
who is brilliant, I have to say. That voice sounds just like
The
original.
I mean, Matthew Lillard essentially is Shaggy, right? That's
he's gone on to actually voice Shaggy in cartoons and stuff. He's taken over.
Okay,
I think. And then there's the guy who plays Scooby, visual effects.
Neil Fanning, like, who is Scooby Doo in all the Scooby Doo cartoons since about like 1995. You know, he's just Scooby Doo now.
Wow. My first question to you. Oh, then the Seth Green, Lucifer Silverstone, like you said, and some other people.
Yeah.
My first question, you said you're going to watch this with your boy.
Yes.
And I thought that might be the best way of watching this.
We did watch it together.
Right.
You can tell if George really likes a movie because he does a little howly kind of laugh and chuckle at stuff when he finds it really funny and gets all excited and jumps up and down. There wasn't a lot of that, I have to say.
I was hoping for you viewing it through like children's eyes.
Yeah.
It'll make it better. And maybe that's why you have enjoyed it more than the first one.
He liked the dance routine with, you know, that kind of pointless with Big Brothers. What happened to them, eh? He kind of liked that weird dance routine with Scooby's wig coming off. Like, he thought that was fun. But
hilarious.
I don't think he got excited about anything else particularly.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I was hoping you could be like, he loved it. It was the best thing ever.
He didn't love it, no.
Had he seen the previous one?
Yeah, we have seen the previous one, which I can't remember his reaction to that. But that was a few years ago, so he was a lot littler. Yeah.
When did you go and see the first one? Did you see it in 2002?
Oh, no, I think I watched it for, like, Jordan's podcast episode. I think I watched the first one, but not this one.
You're like, fuck that, am I going for that again?
I think that's the first time I watched it. I think. I can't remember it before then.
It's 20 years, and definitely the first time I watched it. Like I said, I've had opportunities. I've turned on at Christmas. I watched like 10 minutes and thought, fuck no, I'm not. But then you tell me,
I'll be honest,
it's 20 years.
I basically just watched most of this going, I love Linda Cardellini.
I really do.
And that's basically my whole movie.
Not Sarah Michelle Gellar? Linda?
No, not at all, no. Linda Cardellini, yeah, 100%.
And like you said, they try and make her that she's not attractive. But at one point, they do put her into a leather Britney Spears red catsuit.
Oh, that's the best line of the movie, where it makes a farty noise and she's like, that's my suit. Apparently, that's she ad-libbed that.
Brilliant.
That's the best part of the whole movie.
Because I think these films, I'm not quite sure if they're kids. Well, they're not meant to be for adults, I don't think. But are they scary for kids, or will kids get them? And, you know, what age group is these films made
for? I don't think
it's
particularly scary. I think young kids is fine. I mean, it's what are we talking about? What is it, 12, a PG? It's not even any of that, is it? It's a U.
It's a PG.
Oh, it's a PG, okay.
It is a parent guidance.
Yeah, maybe because there's some ghosts in it. I think someone says crap at one point. Uh-oh. George was like, ooh.
I mean, some of the suits could be scary, the sludge man and the flying pterodactyl. But it's all very, very cheesy, but not in a fun way. For me,
no.
When I first saw one, I was 18, 17. So even at that point, I thought it was too cool for school for it. And I thought, why are we going to go and see Scooby-Doo? I only went and saw it because my mate was a massive Scooby-Doo fan at the time. And I thought, oh, this is awful. Yeah. And then it was awful. And then I never want to see any of it again. And I've done a really good job not going to see these films or bother watching for them.
I mean, fine. That's a good thing, yeah, right?
And then I sat for this, thought, okay, I'm finally going to sit down and try and engross myself into it and try and enjoy it. It's not a well-made film. It's written by James Gunn, the first and second one from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't see the James Gunn-ness. I think the visual effects are really varied. They sometimes look really shit. And sometimes you're like, this is okay. This is still watchable 20 years later. And then something will happen. You're like, no, that looks crap. Like the ghost ship going through the...
I thought that was right. Because a lot of it relies on people believing Scooby, right?
Yeah, essentially.
That he's a real dog.
He's a real dog.
Well, not real.
And in some points, he looks okay. And in others, he looks really bad. I couldn't, I'm not sure what was going on with that. But also, so Alicia Silverstone is the baddie. Sorry, spoilers. Yes. But Alicia Silverstone's the baddie. And there's a point where she's riding on a ghost ship that's flying through the city. But if that's like a hologram, how the fuck is she riding it?
She's a hologram. But also, she's not the real bad guy. It's Tim Nelson.
Tim Blake Nelson. Sort of. But he's...
Sort of.
No, because he's... Well, yeah. They're in it together, aren't they?
It's a mask within a mask of a person.
Yes. Yeah. So she's not a real person. She's Tim Blake Nelson with a mask on. And then there's
redundant research there.
Yeah, there's another guy, Ned, who's like, "You're a dude."
We snuggled.
Yeah. Okay.
I was reading about these today. This group, especially the first one, and originally they were going to make them quite adult, and then that's the version that everyone signed up on. And then suddenly they came to pretty much film it, and they found out a lot of that stuff had been cut.
There were
a couple of bits
where you could see that they were going that way. Like, well, there's a bit on the red.
Stoner.
Oh yeah, there's a bit on the red carpet where they're all kind of meeting their people, and there's a bit where Shaggy's walking down the red carpet and he sort of sniffs, like he's smelt some weed, and then he goes over to his people. And we're like, that would have been so much funnier if you'd let into that, Yeah.
I think the first one would have been better if they lent into that.
Gotcha.
As well. The first one was the 15th highest grossing movie.
Really?
2002.
2002.
So that's...
Oh, blimey.
I cannot believe I found out he's 20 years old, because I felt like this was pretty much out not that long ago, but 20 years old. Yeah, just above Lilo and Stitch, and just made
above
slightly
Lilo
less
and
money.
Stitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Lilo and Stitch is great.
It's above 8 Mile. It's above The Bourne Identity.
What?
Gangs of New York, Road to Perdition.
Wow.
Triple X made just a bit more money than it. The highest grossing movie of 2002 was obviously Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets came out the year of Spider-Man, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, Die Another Day. Oh, what other big hits are in there? Men in Black 2, we can leave that one. Signs, Ice Age, My Big Fat Greek Wedding got the number 9 that year. That's how much that was.
That was a big, surprise hit, wasn't it?
It was. That's why we've had 3 more of them.
Yeah.
The budget was $84 million
for the first one. Yeah.
Now,
okay.
So grossing over 275 mil, that was, I think, a positive. They were like,
"Well, 15th highest grossing movie of the year." I'd say that was pretty good for.
They'll take that
Scooby Doo movie. Yeah,
they moved on to, well, we'll do a sequel. Everyone Came Back, brilliant. I was delighted about that. And in 2004, let me work my way down the list. It had a budget
about 80 million, I think. I looked it up earlier.
80 million. So they've knocked a bit of money off the budget.
Well, I mean, you could probably say it's similar, because it's all estimates, isn't it? So probably similar budget to the first one.
So it was the 28th highest grossing movie of 2004. It made just over 181 million.
That's still a lot of money, though, isn't it?
It's
a profit.
Doubled it. You think it'd be good enough. It was the same year as Top 10 had Shrek 2, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Spider-Man 2, The Passion of the Christ was up there. Ocean's 12, Troy, Meet the Fockers, The Day After Tomorrow. I mean, it did make more money than Alien versus Predator.
Okay. Well, that's something.
Which is good. And then apparently that was not enough money to make a third film.
Yeah.
Now,
that's fine.
Can you see why that didn't happen?
Well, it's rubbish, isn't it? that's not enough. In terms of marketing, there's probably quite a lot of marketing went into this movie. There's probably like
I can imagine
McDonald's
so, yes.
link ups and all that kind of stuff. So there's probably quite a big marketing budget. So you'd probably say the true cost of the movie is if the production budget's 80 million, double that for marketing, 160 million means it only made a 20 million profit, which in movie terms isn't loads.
It's not loads because they had greenlit a third one by this point before the second one came out.
And they do a lot of that on kind of opening weekend figures, don't they? Because this might have picked up a lot of money since. So opening weekend was
only...
it
did quite well on DVD.
Only
yeah.
30 million opening weekends. So that's not that great, I don't think.
I can read you what Wikipedia says about a cancelled sequel, if you want.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
This is Wikipedia. So it says, cancelled sequel. In October 2002, during the filming of Scooby-Doo 2, Warner Brothers approved the production of a third film. Dan Foeman and Paul Foley were hired to write the script for Scooby-Doo 3. In August 2004, Matthew Leonard said in an interview that the third Scooby-Doo film was cancelled because the second had not done as well as expected, which he attributed to Warner Brothers releasing it at an inappropriate time. In 2019 interview, James Gunn revealed that he was set to write and direct, but the film did not happen due to financial disappointment of the previous film, stating, although it did well, it didn't do well enough to warrant a third, so the movie was never made. Gunn tweeted the plot for the cancelled third film in 2020, which was that Mystery Inc. gang are hired by a town in Scotland who complain they are being plagued by monsters, but we discover throughout the film the monsters are actually the victims. Scooby and Shaggy have to come to terms with their own prejudices and narrow belief systems. Sounds a bit
interesting.
Adult.
I mean, to be fair, like I'm sure it would have been fine. but yeah, if this had made over 200 million, I reckon they'd have got that sequel.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. But
it wasn't,
you know,
far off.
Wasn't
then.
Far off. But you know,
were they not counting towards like DVD stuff and whatever at that point?
I think DVD was on the wane by then, wasn't it?
Yeah, and really, when he says inappropriate time to release, March, not a wonderful time to release sequels. No. It seems.
Yeah, if you, especially this kind of movie, you'd have want to drop it as a summer. Not a summer blockbuster, but a summer one you take to the kids to see when they're on holidays kind of thing.
Not the Easter holidays then, which might have been around that time.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a thing in America or not, or, you know, the rest of the world. I know it's the Easter.
Really? They don't eat chocolate eggs?
Well, no, I'm sure they do, I don't know if they get a couple of weeks off school, though. So, you know, I don't know how that works over there, but, you know.
I mean, that's true. I know we said it's both rubbish, this film, but have we got any... plus points.
Oh yeah, like, it's better than the first
celebrate.
One. It's the plus point.
You think
yeah,
it's better?
I generally
than the first
think
one.
It's better than the first one. I didn't hate it as much as the first one, I think is what I should say. I'm not sure it's better. I just didn't have a visceral hatred of it like I did when I watched the first one. And what can I say?
Positives. Well, the story. How did you feel about the story? About that?
I thought the story
the monsters
was
actually coming alive
rubbish.
In real life, kind of thing.
I thought the story
okay.
was nonsense.
Good.
I thought it was all kind of... some of the visual effects that are okay.
Cool. Celebration. Woo-hoo.
That's the thing. I think the cast are okay. I don't think Sarah Michelle Gellar's great. I don't think Freddie Prinze Jr. is great, but I think they're okay.
I like how Sarah Michelle Gellar just kicks into Buffy once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, basically
just kicks
she just
ass.
Kicks ass.
She does that in both the films, it's
but
great.
I think Matthew Lillard's brilliant, and I think...
perfect casting.
I think they're... yeah, I think the others are passable. And obviously Linda Cardellini can do no wrong, so, you know, that's fine. I think Seth Green is weird. I think Alicia Silverstone is fine. Tim Blake Nelson has, like, a line.
What a weird thing to do with that actor. He's mostly shown in a newspaper clipping.
Yeah, yeah, and a flashback to an escape from a prison.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
But then I thought, when he returned at the end, I thought, okay, he's going to say something soon. And he barely says anything.
It's not very funny. The jokes aren't funny. You know, it's not kind of... there are a couple of subtle little bits that you're like, that they must have left in by accident for the grown-ups. like the farty noise that Velma's suit makes and Shaggy sniffing the air and stuff. And, you know, there are a couple of bits, but it's not enough.
Was there a mention of any Scooby snacks?
No.
There wasn't in this one, was there?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember anything.
No, I was assuming that he's going to have to eat a Scooby snack and go mental, whatever he does normally. He goes ultra strong. How did you guess the villain before the end?
I knew it was Tim Blake Nelson, because what's the point of having him?
Well, yes,
in it otherwise. Yes. So I knew it was him. I knew it wasn't Seth Green, because they were trying to like pin it on Seth Green too hard.
Yes, they were.
And I was pretty convinced Alicia Silverstone had something to do with it. So yeah,
I agree with that. It's definitely Alicia Silverstone. And then while she was talking to one of them, the bad guy had turned on the roof, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not her, but then it turned out to be Ned or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just still confused because I was so wondering what George made of it. If it was a
I think he
film
thought it was fine. He wasn't that impressed with it.
Well, you tell me, you know, when he loves something, because you have to watch it like 500 times in a row.
Yeah, there's been no request to watch it again.
Ah, but then he didn't like it. This one.
It's not like, you know, some other things that he wants to watch over and over again.
And how well do you think it's aged, like the legacy of the Scooby-Doo films? Are you amazed that we haven't had I know the sequel was cancelled, but like at least a live-action reboot at some point? Because this is 20 years. You think there'll be some magic somewhere in the legs of these characters?
I don't know, because it's quite an old property, isn't it, really, Scooby-Doo? Like, it's would very
you put it
60s.
In the same camp as like the Flintstones and the Jetsons kind
of. Yeah, I would. And maybe we're past that point now. So the people that love Scooby-Doo as kids are now in their, what, 80s, 70s, 80s? No, it's not us, because Scooby-Doo came out of the 60s.
Oh, true.
So the people that loved it are now in their 80s? Like, you know, I think that's, we're probably past it, right? We're past the time.
Is Scooby-Doo still on TV? You would know this more than me, cartoon-wise.
I don't know. It's not something that George has ever been into, really.
Because I asked the same question when we spoke about the Looney Tunes and Space Jam and all that. And you were like, George has no idea who Bugs Bunny is.
No,
kind
he
of
doesn't
thing.
No. He does know who Scooby-Doo is, but that's because we've watched the first movie. Like,
okay.
Don't think he's watched cartoons of Scooby-Doo.
Wow. That kind of makes me sad in a way.
These things happen, man. Think, you know, we move on.
I remember there was a few years ago, there was a Scoob film. Do you remember that? Warner Brothers released. I think it was in the pandemic.
Yeah, was that... Yeah, that was like an animated one, wasn't it? Was that Will Forte?
And they tried to make it was a younger Scooby-Doo. So it was the story how they met. And there was meant to be a sequel to Scoob, but Warner Brothers, that's the start of the Warner Brothers cancellation era.
Right, okay.
And they just cancelled it. So maybe they know more than we do. I am surprised they haven't done live action, because special effects are good now. I mean, this was released at the same time as Andy Serkis was doing Gollum. So,
yeah.
It's a magical time to be alive.
It's a magical time.
Do you want to play the Rotten Tomato game?
Yeah, go on then. Let's do the Rotten Tomato game.
We can do one and two.
Okay.
So let's do Scooby-Doo 1 first, released in 2002. What I love about these films, I love looking at the duration. They're both for about an hour and a half. And that's delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Okay, 2002, critics.
I'm going to go with... I can't imagine critics loved that movie. It's a bit of a turd.
It made money. Remember that?
31%.
Oh, 32%.
Oh, so close.
So close. That's amazing. You haven't even been that closer. Okay, audience score.
Probably a little higher, but not loads. 49%.
40%.
Ah, I went too high. I knew as soon as the 9 came out, I was like, no, not 9. That's too high.
Some critics say, too scary for most kids, too dumb for most teens.
Fair.
Scooby-Doo knows when to take itself seriously and when to laugh at itself.
Nope.
Even if its audience isn't laughing long at every gag.
That's true.
The film's effects just don't do the concept justice.
This is the first one. I don't remember the effects being bad in the first one.
I remember in 2002 being quite impressed by the effects in the first one. So I don't know what we're talking about there. Okay, Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, 2004.
Critics. 23%.
Oh. 22%.
Oh my god, one out again!
Insane. Audience score.
33%.
33%? 41%.
Ugh. Miles out.
So, your opinion of thinking the second one is better than the first one is different.
It's definitely wrong. Yeah, yeah. Fair
enough. Definitely. I did find an Amazon review of Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed.
I should just do a little caveat. I don't think the second one's better than the first one. I just didn't hate it as much as the first one. I really hated the first one. I want to get that.
I hate them pretty much both. I would say they're an equal sequel. They're very much.
Oh yeah.
I think they're a nice companion piece to one another, to be honest. The problem is that they hadn't learned anything from the second one. Actually, I'll read you a review of what Empire wrote.
Okay, go on then.
So I'll read you the funny one first. So this is a guy called Phelan on Amazon. He gave this 5 stars. This is one of my favourite films from being younger, and honestly, it's still great now. It was a big step up from the predecessor. So many great visual effects and concepts put together into one masterpiece. My opinion, this is the best Scooby-Doo movie there has ever been. Ignore all the bad reviews. This is a great film for the whole family to enjoy, and slightly nostalgic with all the early 2000 musics that is in it, by the way. I'm a fan of the soundtrack. It's not. It's bad. Like Big Brothers is not a good tune. Dance sequence is awesome. I honestly wish more movies could be more like Monsters Unleashed, but I'm glad it exists and wouldn't change it for anything. Must watch.
Wow. There is no accounting for taste.
And Nick DeSemlin, who is now the editor, the chief and editor of Empire, did a review, gave it 2 stars out of 5, and then wrote, sooner rather than later, it was inevitable that we'd be treated to another helping of Doo. Just as predictable, nothing has changed. The second big screen Shaggy and Dog story not only pits Mystery Inc. against another masked villain, at this time one with a monster spewing device, but follows the first sloppy paw prints in nearly every way. The screen is kept chock full of cool looking monsters resurrected from the cartoons, and the giggle count climbs whenever Scoobs and Shaggy share yelping
non sequiturs.
Yes. What does that mean?
I mean,
this is why I can't be
Nonsense, essentially.
Okay. Yet once again, everything else falls flat, from the low wattage guest appearance from the Big Brothers to stale characters arcs given to Fred, Daphne, and Velma. Themes of self-acceptance and inner strength seem a little out of place in a movie featuring a hound farting at phantoms.
It's not wrong.
This sequel is a step up from the first Scooby. Scooby's animation is improved. There are some fun action sequences and a smattering of amusing moments, but the same manic muggling that spoiled the original mars this movie, and the result is a film only a 6-year-old on a sugar rush would love.
Again, he's not wrong.
So, happy 20th birthday to Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed.
Yay! What a load of poo.
Wow, it wasn't a nice revisit, I have to say, or even a first-time watch. How bad can it be, I thought? Pretty bad. Anyway, I'd love to know what people think. I know there are Prosim fans, Jordan King, you'll be one of them. Rich, tell these people some nice things.
Yeah, if you want to go back and listen to that Jordan King episode, where I probably said I loved Scooby-Doo. I don't know. I can't remember. I've changed since then. What can I say? Then just go back and listen. It's in there. It's back in series one, all the way back in time. Yeah. 3 years? 3 years nearly now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Go back, give that a listen. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button, hit the auto download button. And we'll drop into your pod player of choice every single week so that when series 6 comes along.
Six.
Then it will automatically pop in there and you can have our brilliant guests and don't have to just listen to us too talking nonsense. So yeah, do that. If you really love us, get on anotherslice.com/unequalsequel and you can hear all the extra stuff that we do. So you've got Box Set Mentality, you've got Disenfranchised, and you'll also get sequels to all of our interview episodes as well. So go and give those a listen. And if you like this podcast, you'll really love that. It's only $2.99 a month. Did I say the website?
Maybe, but say it again. Really Drill it in.
You're going to keep all this in, aren't you?
Yeah.
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 Good. Good. Cheers. Professional. It's anothersLice.com/unequalsequel. Just getting back in the rhythm there. But yeah, let us know what you thought of Scooby-Doo 2. Get on the social medias. We're on Threads. We're on Twitter. We're all those things. We are at Unequal Sequel. You can also find us on things like Letterboxd and on Instagram and even YouTube now and TikTok. We're even so down with the kids that we're on those things. Probably. I don't know.
Oh, we are. We are.
But yeah. Type Unequal Sequel in the search. You'll find us. And if you don't do social media, tell us what you thought on email. We're unequalsequel@hotmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will read out all the things you say at the in our end of month roundup. Happy days.
Which is next week. End of month roundup is next week.
What?
It's the end of March. It's been a long one.
Next week?
Everything you need to say to us.
Mad.
This week. Please get in touch. We've got some stuff. We want some more stuff. It can be a question about anything apart from, like, can you fix my toaster kind of thing.
Well, I mean, we probably can give it a try.
I mean, Rich is quite handy in that world.
Chances
so
are we'll probably burn your house down, so you know.
Yes. we also might be able to talk about the new James Bond person in the next weeks. There are rumours out today. We're recording on a day that they might be announced. So that'd be exciting. And if you hear some clops and bongs from Rich's microphone, we're also trying to sort that. We don't know what it is.
No.
So it's fun.
Sorry.
But it's okay. I've got nothing else to say. Thank you for listening. It is a goodbye from me. Bye-bye. It's a goodbye from him.
Bye.
See you on the next one. Sequel to this one. Have a great week. Bye-bye. Do you know last week we forgot to do one of these?
Oh, well, I thought we did one. And then I listened to the episode and I was like, hang on, he's forgot to put it in.
If we did, I must have somehow deleted it. But
okay. I think you cut it off because I'm pretty sure we did one.
Did we?
Yeah.
Editing's tough, man. I was losing my mind a little bit last week.